The 1918 influenza pandemic was a huge historic event. It infected roughly one-third of the entire global population. Yet until this current pandemic, odds are you probably haven't thought much about it. There aren't many great pandemic novels like there are about World War I, the event it coincided with. No All Quiet on the Western Front or Johnny Got His Gun for the influenza. Though Downton Abbey fans may remember this moment when Matthew Crowley's fiancée, Lavinia, got the flu.
I don't understand. When I was with her, she was talking. She was fine.
It's a strange disease with sudden, savage changes.
Scholar Elizabeth Outka has been looking at this. She's the author of Viral Modernism, The Influenza Pandemic, and Interwar Literature.
I call it a perfect storm of silence because I think that there's a lot of factors that go into why the influenza pandemic drops out of cultural memory. But a lot of it does have to do with the timing. It comes right as the war is ending, and the deadly second wave came right at armistice. In fact, a lot of people were infected with influenza in the armistice celebrations. And so you have a lot of people just overwhelmed with grief, overwhelmed with mass death. It's 8 to 10 million people who die in World War I, and people had just had enough.
So perhaps the experience of the pandemic comes through art and literature in more subtle, maybe unexpected ways. You also argue that the idea of zombies, the undead monsters who come back and infect other humans, that can be traced back to the same period. How?
What you have is this combination of factors from the war and the pandemic. You have bodies that have been disfigured in the war or from the pandemic. This influenza turned people purple. It caused profuse bleeding from eyes, nose, and mouth. And you have all this insecure burial, right? You have so many missing soldiers. You have so many mass graves. And in the flu, the worst wave came in the middle of winter when it was hard to dig. And then you have this invisible enemy that is also contagious. You could give it to other family members. You could pass it on. Mm. And so all of these factors combine. And lurching out of this come these proto-zombie figures with a writer like H.P. Lovecraft. And in a very famous movie, Jacques Hughes, by the French director Abel Gance, it was a way, I think, also of visualizing a monster that was invisible in the case of the flu.
What other ways did kind of culture producers come to terms with the pandemic? Like Arthur Conan Doyle, the author of the Sherlock Holmes series, he has an interesting role here.
We have a resurgence of what was called spiritualism after the war and the pandemic, which was an attempt to contact the dead through seances. Ouija boards became very popular. And so Arthur Conan Doyle, who created Sherlock Holmes, was extremely interested in spiritualism. His son is often reported as having died from injuries of the war. But that's actually incorrect. He was injured in the war, but he dies of influenza when he comes back, along with Arthur Conan Doyle's younger brother. And so Arthur Conan Doyle throws himself into spiritualism. He's coming to the United States and giving sold-out talks at Carnegie Hall. And he's showing these spirit photographs where you have a living sitter, and then in the background somewhere, there's a ghostly figure of ideally one of their relatives. Now, to our eyes, these seem like obvious frauds, but at the time, it offered a tangible way to bring back somebody who had died in these terrible ways. And it was a way of handling that kind of grief and giving somebody a visual that they could hang on to.
So, Elizabeth, you've written a book about this subject. Obviously, you started working on it long before the current coronavirus pandemic. But now that we're all living this strange experience, were there any particular works that you've read before that kind of took on a new relevance for you?
One of the poems that I write about in the book is the famous poem by William Butler Yeats, The Second Coming. And it is a poem very much about the war. It is very much about all the things that were happening in Ireland. But when I had my own sort of COVID-like case in March, I remembered lying in bed, sort of semi-delirious, and thinking about the rhythmic quality of these lines and the way they produce or suggest a kind of delirium, this turning and turning and things fall apart. the center cannot hold, mere anarchy is loosed upon the world, right? These are all lines that spoke to the kind of bodily disintegration, this sort of sense that there was anarchy outside your window and anarchy inside your body. And Yeats writes this poem just a couple weeks after his pregnant wife had barely recovered from her almost deadly case of influenza.
Elizabeth Outka is a professor at the University of Richmond. She's the author of Viral Modernism, the Influenza Pandemic, and Interwar Literature. Elizabeth, we are glad you're healthy. Thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much, Marco. It was a pleasure.